Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Oh, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all my blessed beloveds out there. Today is Humpity Hump Day, Wednesday, and can you believe it's already June? I can't, it's just, wow, it's going by so fast. My daughter turns 8 this week. I cannot believe that either. I swear I was just changing her diapers about a year ago. And now I'm picking out Monster High costumes for her birthday party on Sunday. Amazing stuff. It has been incredible weather-wise. Evidently, the weekend was hot and steamy, but I fell very ill, ended up with strep throat, and I was questioning whether or not I could speak today because I swear to goodness gravy, my tonsils were giving birth to stones, large stones. Very painful process. I don't know how children do it, but I did find it rather cute. And when the doctor said, you know, Rusty, you're kind of not in the age group that we normally see strep throat and mono. And I just looked at him going, what age group would that be, and are you calling me old? Ha-ha, but I'm bum. So today I am very excited to discuss a recent experience that I had with my two favorite relationship experts, Naima and OT. I love, love, love having them on, and it's been a year, so we're all grounded, and we're going to have to do this more often. They host their own radio show, Not Your Typical Radio Talk, and that's K-N-O-T, so definitely listen to them next week. They're just great to have on. Amy's on today, which is wonderful as well. We're going to talk a little bit about runaway bride syndrome, and, you know, for you boys, runaway groom syndrome, runaway date, runaway lover. But if I say runaway bride, everything pops into your mind with a recent woman who ran away and claimed that she was kidnapped by some terrorist group and yada, 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 and it made national headlines. But what makes people run away? So Naima, OT, Amy, and I will have a long discussion as to what that means and why do we run away? I did it recently twice with the same person, and I can't figure it out. If you have any questions or you want to pipe in, feel free to give us a call. The number is 347-205-9443, and let's say hello to everybody. Hello, Naima. You're live.
Hello to the people. This is Naima. Thanks again, Rusty, for having both me and OT on. I'm excited about the topic. I can't wait to get into it.
Absolutely. Hello, Amy. You're unmuted.
Yes. How is everyone doing this afternoon? You there?
Yeah. Everybody's great. This is going to be fun. There's four of us on today. OT, yeah. My love, are you there?
I am here. Hi. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
And thank you again, Rusty, for having us. Always a pleasure.
I love having you guys on. We're going to have to do it more often. It's just, it's a great dynamic. And you guys bring such an incredible insight to these topics. So it's wonderful. I think the next show that we have as a group should be about sex, but we definitely have to, you know, market that one appropriately because I do have parents.
So
that
much.
My favorite topic. All right, so everybody knows the lowdown. Who wants to start first?
Well, I have a question for you, Rusty. You said you've
sure.
done it twice with the same person. Are you
yeah.
still with that person?
We tried again. It was just the strangest thing. A sweet person. There was no handsome, sweet, charming, funny. But I just panicked and I had to go twice. And I felt so bad, and so we talk, and it's a big running joke. Oh, I didn't invite you over to dinner, but you won't stay.
Okay.
You know, so it's fun, and he's mature about it. But what are your experiences and your thoughts in regards to this?
So my thoughts are, and let's rewind for a second. You call this relationship experts. And I just want to use that loosely because a lot of
yeah.
what we talk about is our own experiences. And since
right.
OT is a big mm-hmm. is a big whore back, there's a lot of experience out there as far as relationships are concerned. So in my own opinion, in my experiences, the runaway syndrome, I'm going to call it, is based on fear. Like we all talk about how it's not Mm-hmm. You shouldn't bring baggage from one relationship into another. But the truth of the matter is all you have is your experiences, right? And
right.
If your last relationship where you put all of your emphasis on this one person, depending on who you are and how you manage your relationships, ended poorly and you thought you gave it your all, you're going to be afraid to do the same with the next person. So I think it's all, without going into any of my own experiences, which I will, I just wanted to throw it out there that I think a lot of it is driven from fear of being hurt, fear of not being enough, fear of losing who you are.
Mm.
Absolutely, absolutely. OT, what's your take, my friend?
Everything she just said? No, I'm kidding.
Ditto.
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 Everything she said. To sort of build on what Naima said, I'll have to agree that I think a lot of the whole runaway syndrome stems from people forgetting who they are and sort of losing themselves. Like, the first mm-hmm. thing I hear people say when they break up from a relationship is, I need to find myself. Mm-hmm. I need to figure out who I am and what I want and what I want to do again. But that's because sort of engulfs yourself in another individual and you started to forget who you were outside of that person. And I see that more often than not, and people tend to sort of think of a relationship as becoming one unit, another person, instead of seeing it as three entities. Like, there's you, there's your partner, and then there's you and your partner. But people always focus on the you and your partner thing, and that's when it becomes scary, because you start to, like, realize you no longer have an identity. And that is what I see a lot of people sort of running from, the loss of identity, or running to getting their identity back.
Well, and that's going to be a topic for a completely different show. But I think a healthy and a good relationship, you can have your individuality and your duality.
Right.
But that's a healthy relationship. So if you have a relationship or experiences in relationships where it's been purely duality, which we all have had, and they're epic fails, obviously, because you have to have that individuality. I can see how that is a trigger for fear. Mm-hmm. Amy, what's your take, my friend?
Well, again, in my experience, it's based on kind of two of what you all have been talking about, is fear and fear of repeating itself. So when a situation gets to something that's familiar, their automatic fight or flight response kicks in because they've been there before. So when they get to this a lot, like, comfortable, it's like some people is the opposite. When they actually get comfortable in a relationship, they run away.
Right.
There's something that's triggering that fight or flight response, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a negative thing.
Exactly.
They run away.
So who wants to start? I gave you a little bit of a taste of my recent experience. Who wants to share something similar? OT, do you have one? It would be nice to have a male's perspective.
I do. I want to hear what Amy has to say first, though.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I have in my life a person that I care about deeply, and this person continues the same. I've watched it over, you know, about 15 years. This repetitive pattern. And what this person does is just creates a new life. So when things get to this real good place that you think they want to be, they do something to screw it up or they bolt. And that's my experience where the runaway, when we were talking about that, was what came to mind for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard, because now I'm one of those lost families, as you will. So I'm not in her loop anymore as a friend as I used to be, because she's moved on again. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I said that, because, you know, when she became what we viewed as happy or where she wanted to be, she just moved on again. And in some ways can, you know, use tactics that are pretty, you know, aggressive to do
right.
that. So it's not fun to watch.
Okay, full disclosure. I was ordering Burger King because I'm hungry. So that's why I couldn't give a story right then.
OT, dirty boy.
But now that my order is placed and my bag is in hand, I have lots to share.
All right, so we get to hear you munching at the same time. You've got to at least tell for those people who are not celiacs like me what you ordered.
Oh, a fish sandwich and some fries. That's it.
There
I
you
keep
go.
It simple. Yeah.
Purely simple.
Yeah, pure and simple. So,
do not bite the fish sandwich before you start talking.
No, I'm not going to start talking while I'm eating. That's rude. So,
oh my God.
To give just the male perspective, I mean, I've dated men and women, for those of you who follow me on Not Just Simple Radio Talk or have heard me on this show before. And my experience has been really interesting. Like, with women specifically, they sort of ran away from my kindness because I wasn't enough of a bad boy. It was sort of like, you're the right guy on paper, but in real life, it doesn't equate. And so I always felt like relationships were working, not because I was gay, of course, because it couldn't be, but because the people were they mixed up their wants and their needs. And
do that all the time.
Yeah, and with men, it seemed that the relationship went awry as soon as there was a commitment thing, because there was this sense of giving up my individuality. I don't want to become a we. I don't want to partner off with anybody. I want to maintain this sense of who I am, because relationships have been propagated in this country specifically as a union between two halves of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in a relationship, years, and people, when they see, go, where's your other half? And I turn my body and I say, here it is right here, because I'm a whole person, whether he's with me or not. Please. And I think that sort of thing, that sort of mentality is where it sort of runs away, because there's this sense, I'm a whole person. If, you know, become a part of a relationship, I become half of the relationship. And that's a scary thought. At least it is for.
You're kind of breaking up, buddy.
You're breaking up, so I'm gonna take it from here, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my experience, I'm gonna kind of share what I could, without any emotion being involved, right?
Right.
Early on, and I think not even early on, a lot of it had to do with insecurities. Growing up, I would avoid getting too close to people because I didn't want anyone too close to the complexities of my upbringing and my family and my childhood. So even in friendships, not just romantic relationships,
mm-hmm.
I would only allow people to get but so close. And when I felt like they were getting too close, I would draw back. And that translated into my relationships as I grew up. And the one guy that I dated in high school that I let get close to me, was the one person that hurt me the most. And so as a result of that, there's a new reason why I didn't let people get close to me, because the one time I did, I got hurt. So then there's really no point in letting people get too close. So that just added to, first, it's I don't want anyone to know about my mom's drug addiction or anything else that's going on at the home. And then
right.
it became, well, what's the point in letting people get close when all they're going to do is hurt you? And then somewhere along the line, I got this insecurity of that, you know, I'm a beautiful woman. I have a lot going on for myself. And people tend to initially view me in the physical. And because of it, they put me on this pedestal. And I always felt like, okay, I can't live up to this. So let me only hang around long enough before they realize that I am not this image that they think I am. And so I would run for fear of disappointing. And I actually ran into a friend that, I guess, a friend that we had a crush on each other between high school and college. And he had the same fear in dealing with me, that I would find out that he wasn't all that I thought he was. And when there was, and so as a result, I started dealing with people that are unavailable to say, to in some form or fashion, whether it's emotional or any other, because there's no expectations, at least in my mind, there's no expectation.
I think that's great. And it's actually, I'm going to throw in a little bit of a twist, because when you grow up in that type of environment, which you and I relate to, and you set yourself up with these beautiful walls and develop these great defense mechanisms to avoid being hurt, because, you know, there's many layers of hurt. There's other things that happen, and I actually recently counseled an individual who, like you, you know, just absolutely stunning, has no problem getting a date, no problem turning heads, and she became an obsessive eater because of that and gained a lot of weight. And really, we had to dig down deeply into that issue to figure out what it was, and it was because when she was younger, people only saw her in the physical.
All right.
They didn't respect the rest of her. So, you know, that's a little bit of a twist, but I think it's an interesting correlation with this concept of running away. Some of my holistic healing friends, I've talked to a couple of my reverend friends about this, doing research for the show, and a couple of my shaman friends said, Rusty, you know, you believe in past lives, you're Buddhist. This is probably a past life connection, because when we're together, it's a very comfortable, like we've known each other for a very long time. Very easy, very comfortable. So for me, I'm like, oh, that could be plausible. Damn. you know, geez. But what makes the story the most interesting, every single person has experienced it in one way, shape, or other. Yesterday I was taking Chloe for a pedicure, and there was this great movie with Jennifer Aniston on it, and it was the same concept that OT was talking about earlier, about the, you know, the male's perspective of the runaway lover. Didn't Julia Roberts do a movie called Runaway Bride?
Yeah. I think that was.
So
it was actually quite funny.
Yes, it did.
So it's obviously a very big issue, but how do we work through that? So Naima, you're thinking that it's fear-based, which I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
On some level, it's some sort of fear-based something.
It's a piece.
So how do you, you know, what kinds of things could you suggest, team, to work on that for people who are listening? I actually have some new people listening specifically because of this topic.
Hi, new people. The first thing is what Naima touched on, and everybody knows I'm a psychologist. So for the first thing Naima touched on when she talked about, it's called the halo effect. And people should really, really be aware of that, because it's so strong and so prevalent. And what the halo effect is basically, as Naima stated, when things are beautiful or, you know, have a nice aesthetic, especially people, you tend to attach good qualities to them, whether or not they actually possess them. So you see someone who's pretty, you automatically think, oh, she must be nice, she must be kind, she must be smart. And the first thing is to sort of pay attention to your thinking and pay attention to the expectations and the the undue pressures that you're applying to yourself, you know, where you're saying, oh, this person must be this way, or I have to be this, and I have to present a specific way to appease this person. I think the first thing is to really, to combat, you know, the runaway syndrome, is really to take a good self-inventory and really understand what your thoughts are and where they're coming from. Because a lot of times we start to think for other people and then make them responsible for those thoughts. You know, when
okay.
people say, I felt I believed you would feel this. Or I thought you were thinking that. You know, so I think that's the first thing, is to really be introspective and be responsible for your thoughts.
Yeah.
I think that's perfect, and I want to hold you there. I'm going to hold your feet down, OT, while you're eating your fish sandwich. Did you get cheese on that, by the way?
No.
No,
And now they're French fries, too.
How do you get a fish sandwich without cheese, man?
I don't like cheese. I don't like
do fish
on
and cheese. High five.
I know you don't
high
like
high
cheese.
Rusty.
That's I'm poking you. all right, so that's actually great. Because I'm a big person, I'm a big believer in changing your thoughts. You change your thoughts, you change your attitude, you change your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's incredibly, incredibly powerful when we have that fear-based energy, that nervous energy, and we start projecting those fears, that nervous
mm-hmm.
energy, going, oh, my God, well, if I wear that, he's not going to like me or she's not going to like me if I listen to this music, like projecting rather than asking or participating. That's a setup for failure in any relationship, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, Emma, get your own thoughts.
I can't say absolutely. I agree.
Yes.
So I can absolutely see how individuals would be chronic runaways if they're constantly projecting their own fears into the situation, even though it may not be real. We do that a lot in life on
mm-hmm.
many subjects, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Like I've always said, fear is false evidence appearing real.
I like it.
I use that a lot because you're basing your feelings on something that really isn't real, like Rusty just said. And once you can get out of that, it's fine. I'm going to put another little twist into this. I'm actually dealing with needing to run away to avoid, but it's a relationship with my child, my older child. What's happening is what I've found that works for me, and I don't absorb as much stress from the situation, is when she gets in her mood or starts attacking me verbally, I just leave.
Okay.
But that works for
power
me.
From her. Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes running away is a good thing, but it's rare.
Well, and I want to go back to the halo concept and let OT finish, but I have a question or a thought or another wrench to throw into the conversation.
Okay.
However, I want to give everybody our number, because if you want to pipe in and you have a couple of pennies in your pocket you want to toss our way, give us a call. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
I'm Amy.
Oh, my God, that almost went over my head, but I caught it. That was really good. That was really good.
You were still stuck
like,
on the cheese.
It's just not him. But it's so amazing. I can't even say.
Two cents, honey. 347-205-9443. Toss us your 2 cents and give us a call. So the other wrench that I had, and I think I lost it because I started babbling and then giggling and then babbling again. Oh, shoot.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. It was really good, too. It was a great point.
Well, can I throw something in there? While
yeah, throw in while I'm trying to rewind my brain. Go ahead.
And I think it's somewhat related to the whole halo effect or not. but it made me think about it. We are. Okay, I lost my train of thought from that too.
it's contagious.
Because I don't want to say we're complex as individuals, but we come in layers. Like we deal with emotions differently. We deal with, you know, reactions and how we handle situations differently. And I think that if we start to embrace how we ourselves deal with our own emotions, our own responses and reactions, then it gives the people in our lives the permission to embrace it as well.
Yeah, and I think recognizing those behaviors is key. When you really acknowledge, oh my God, I've run away on this poor person who didn't deserve it twice. What is that? What is that piece? Why? What about me do I need to address? And a lot of people don't do that. They tend to continue the behavior because it's habitual at that point. Does that make sense?
Well,
yeah,
it does. And here's the bigger issue. When people are what they consider problem focused, it's been my experience that they focus on the wrong problem.
Exactly.
The issue isn't, or okay, let me word this really, really carefully. The bigger issue is not the fact that someone is running away. The issue is what's causing them to run away. And
yes.
The metaphor I use is people who smoke cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Because people tend to focus on, oh, you're smoking and smoking is bad. You know, you shouldn't smoke, but there's something that's causing that person to smoke. There's some sort of need that smoking is fulfilling that's not being met any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And so major issue. There's some need that's not being met that's causing this person to not want to stay. Whatever that need is. And sometimes the person doesn't know, but that's where it goes back to sort of being introspective and really taking a good look at what is it that's missing for me that I don't want to be here.
Well, I found my wrench. I dropped it on the floor. So
yes.
My wrench was, we naturally have this in our hippocampus, we have this beautiful ability to sense something. We can sense danger, we can sense being uncomfortable, we can sense this, we have an innate ability to sense things. So taking away the fear piece, and we'll put fear in its own place, because I believe that the majority of people who runaway lovers, it definitely is, you know, a self-defense mechanism from past hurt. Totally,
right.
Totally believe most of that. My other theory or thought, wrench, is it's an instinct, a legitimate self-preservation instinct that we legitimately know that something's wrong with this person.
Huh.
Does that make? Are you following the bouncing ball?
I know.
I'm laughing what? Because I think Naima had her reaction because we've had similar discussions. I'll let somebody else start.
Go, shoot. Naima, you want to take a stab at it?
No, I want to think through it for a minute, if that's okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, then I'll start, then, if it's okay.
Absolutely.
I tell my friends, and I say this as a friend, as a professional, to whoever I'm dealing with, people show you who they are up front. And a lot of times we ignore those things because we're so enthralled by something else. Oh, there, you know, example. I love giving examples. You meet a guy, he calls you 10 minutes after, he calls you the next morning, he calls you that evening, where, you know, it's like, oh, he's cute, he's into me. No, he's possessive because he just met you and he's tailing you like he owns you. And that sort of behavior is adorable in the first month, but a year from now, when he's calling you five times a day, is it going to be that cute? So it, and like you said, there's a sense that you get that says this is not okay, but something else, you know, a bigger, louder voice says, oh no, this is cute. This means he likes me. He's into me. No, he's possessive. And I think what you're talking about, Brett, is like people ignoring that sense. Or,
yeah.
You know, becoming in tune with it and not even knowing why.
You know what? I think it's because of the discussions that OT and I've had about that is how I recognize something similar in a relationship that I started last year. I started dating a guy that I've known since I was 10. So we were great friends, but we were never in a romantic relationship. So on that level, I didn't really know him. I just knew the stories and what I saw when I was around him and anybody that he was talking or he was involved with. And, you know, there's different levels of how, of what you share in your relationship when you're around other people, no matter who you are,
right.
No matter how close you think you are to the person. But in our relationship, and let me also note that he cheated on everyone that he was ever with in a relationship. And so when he and I got together, he had, and this is why I had to run, he had insecurities based on his own behaviors that he forced onto our relationship. And because of that, you know, I think we had a show about how far do you go to save a relationship or whatever. I felt like it wasn't my responsibility to manage his insecurities.
Right.
That he had to deal with whatever demons he had based on whatever he did to anybody else. Before he allowed, you know, before we would be great together. Because I think we could have been great together. But he was pushing all of that on me, and it wasn't healthy. You know, I need to answer every one of her calls, and I need to make sure, like, if she's not available, she needs to explain to me why she's not available. Like, he'll call me, and I won't answer because I'm busy. And the next time we talk, I called you. And my response is, oh, but he wants to hear, oh, I was blah, 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 but I'm not that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to hear it because you care. You want to hear it because you want to make sure I'm not doing anything that you would have done if someone couldn't reach you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I was married to somebody like that. 15 years of that. Yeah. But instinctually, I think you're right, OT. The fondness and the cuteness and the excitement and the interest and the intrigue and the mystery of learning about a new person does really override that instinctual piece, that little, you know, nagging voice that's, hey, that person has called you 15 times today. There's something wrong with that. And I like how you pointed that out. Amy, did you have any thoughts?
Well, it's interesting because, well, you know, I'm actually this year celebrating 21 years with my husband. And for the most part, it's an amazing relationship. But there, I feel now, this is instinctively, and please chime in if you feel differently because I'm looking for answers, but I feel it's a self-esteem issue with him because the only time that we have issues relationship-wise or jealousy really is when I'm in a social, you know, I'm a very social person. I have my own business. I do, you know, public speaking and everything. And he's not that type of person. He's very laid back and very quiet. And I think that makes him nervous that somebody else is going to spark my interest. So when I go away on a business trip or I go, say, you know, be around people that I know or a lot of people that are giving me attention, and it could be just a, you know, a speaking engagement. He seems to be really uneasy with that. And I'm trying not to put too much attention to it, but yet it bothers me because it makes me feel like I'm doing something wrong and I'm being watched. And You know what I mean? But I don't think he doesn't trust me. It's just his experience. Does that make sense at all?
Oh, no, that makes sense.
I understand because I live with that too.
I
am in a relationship, and I've been in a relationship for 3 years, and I am the social butterfly.
Right, I am too.
It's just the nature of what I do. Like you said, like I'm always promoting the OT brand, you know.
Right.
So when I go out in social situations, I'm talking it up, and my partner is a little more introverted, and he doesn't really understand how the dynamic works. I mean, as you've all been talking about how beautiful you all are, and you are, and I am a 6'7" man, and I'm quite handsome. And a lot of times people come up to me and talk to me just because I'm tall. But because
you are a rare breed, I have to tell
distance,
you.
Thank you. Yeah, because he's looking from a distance, it's always like, well, oh, is that one of your boyfriends? I'm like, I don't even know that person. He just asked how tall I was, you know. And,
right.
And that I have to deal with, you know, on a regular basis. But what it comes down to is throwing that back. These people have been conditioned at some point to not talk in social
media. You're
situations.
Breaking up, baby.
You darn it, this phone.
Yeah, well, you just need to stand in the corner with one of those rabbit ears.
It's never the phone, it's the carrier. It's always the carrier.
Don't be like that. Don't do that. You do not have to be that girl.
OT, I apologize. We did neglect to say how stunning of a man you are and how tall you are. And for the two real tall people on the show, it's very hard for us ladies to find tall men like you. So if you happen to have a brother or a cousin as tall as you, send him my way. I got a whole family.
Resting up for you.
I'm 5'11". I'm a little shorter than you.
I love you.
Oh, wow.
I love you. I still have to get down to Baltimore because we're going out.
That sounds great.
Absolutely.
Now, Anna will hold to that, Rusty.
I know she will, and I'm surprised she hasn't called me in this past year because we were supposed to do this a while ago. But
yes,
anyway.
Yes, to the Seacoast.
That's right. All right, so now we have the basic instincts that we ignore because of the newness and freshness and excitement of relationships. We have the possibilities, which I hold very as the bigger piece, fear-based issues.
Mm-hmm.
Could there be any other thing? Are there any other wrenches that we could throw into this? Oh, I forgot the past life piece. So we have three wrenches.
I was just about to say, could it be biologically based? There's a whole movement in
learned
called
behavior.
Evolutionary, that says
that
people,
behavior.
Do things instinctively because they've learned to. It's an adaptation thing. Like I have to do this because it helps me survive, or that's what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a household where your mom is constantly having a revolving door of men,
yes.
You do what you see. Okay.
Right. Or your dad
has never had
a steady girlfriend.
I want to clarify one thing. Did you say biological or environmental? Because we're going on into the environment, more environmental factors versus biological DNA or chemical makeup.
Well, I guess it would be kind of combined.
Yeah, I said evolutionary. So
you said evolutionary. I apologize.
Two of them. Yeah. Where your biology sort of determines your environment and the converse, where they sort of play on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you pick up traits from your parents. You know, your mom or your dad don't keep steady relationships, and then you see that growing up, and so they've already passed that gene down to you, you know, and now because it's in your environment, you think, hey, this is the way to do it. That's how it goes.
Right.
Rolling with a revolving door. How
I
many
like
players
it.
Like that song?
Yeah. that's kind of part of the equation with the person I was speaking about earlier. I believe that was part of the equation of why she would continue to, you know, make things different. And you touched upon, you know, it's in a positive way, you know, if you want things to change, do something different. But some people can take that too literally. And they just, right. instead of working on it, they just keep changing their environment.
Right. At some point, you have to be satisfiable. And, you know, like, it's great to be ambitious, but at some point, you have to say, this is enough.
Right.
And I think that a lot of people can't do that, especially in relationships, because they're focused on their wants. You know, I want this. I want this. I want this in a person. I want this in a person. Or I want someone who has this. I want someone who has that. And most of the time, the things that you want are things that you can provide yourself anyway. So you're searching for something that you already have.
Unattainable.
You know, I want a guy with a nice car. I want a guy with a big house. Well, great. Go buy yourself a nice car. Go work and get yourself a big house. You don't need that from someone else. What you need are things that you can't provide yourself. Can you call yourself in the middle of the night and say, I love you? Can you cuddle with yourself at night? Can you make yourself, you know, feel, you know, soup when you're sick and feed yourself in bed? Like, those sorts of things that you need. Somebody who connects with you on a really, you know, not superficial level, somebody who really understands you at the core of your being. You can't provide that self to yourself. You can't provide those things to yourself. Those are things you need. You know, the stuff you want, screw that. Like, focus on the things you need.
Well, and I have my Cheshire Cat smile on, and everybody knows what that means. I'm being devious. I could, if I wanted to, says my client, I could put a picture in my bed and set my alarm clock and videotape myself and I could do these things, but the real bone of contention is you need that human contact. You need that human, you know, I'm a snuggle bug. I could snuggle 42 hours straight and be the happiest person on the planet, happier than I already am. But my pillows don't give me that warmth and that feedback. I think there's a human feedback that
it's a vibration.
It's an absolutely. But the bone of contention, folks, is you really have to dig deeply in yourself to find out what it is that you need to own. Right?
Yeah, I'll agree. I like that.
What do you need to own as an individual? Because you know what? Your mama, if she had a revolving door, that's her business. That's her problem.
Right.
If your dad was the same way and he had a lot of honeys on the side, that's his business. That's his problem. You don't have to make it your problem, and you don't have to own that behavior. So I have a real hard time thinking that it is a genetic piece more so than an environmental piece, fear-based piece, I agree with. And in a lot of respects, I think community-wise, environmentally, we're teaching people to behave this way.
Yeah, we're conditioned.
Exactly. I think we're absolutely conditioning people to be players and to be sexters and to be...
Well, we glamorize it on television. We glamorize that behavior.
Somebody was funny about
the
TV show
okay.
called Sex in the City. I guess that glamorizes the same concept.
Yeah, it's on television. It's in the music that we listen to. All too often I hear people say, you know, they don't make songs like they used to about love and relationships. It's all about other things, you know, playing.
Right.
And, yeah. So I agree with that.
And we also, yeah, we also live in the age of, like, instant gratification where you
can
go online. You can go online and type in a grocery list of things that you want, qualities that you want in a person, and I use the word qualities very loosely, and bam, 100 photos will pop up of people that live in your vicinity. Like, are you kidding? That's
right.
That's not. And then you wonder why it didn't work out. Well, you just made a grocery list of your apparent future husband. You don't grocery list your husband.
I know I haven't dated a lot. My first relationship was 5 years. My second, 15. My third was a year. I'm kind of a little bit of an innocent, but I do have particular things. My man has to have a bottom.
Right.
He has to be funny. He
right.
has to be, you know, my height, a little taller would be nice. That's a dream.
Right.
But, because they're rare.
I believe in having standards. That I'm not saying don't have standards. I'm not saying don't have preferences. What I'm saying is that this whole idea that I'm going, like, as you said, he has to have certain things. But there are some other things that you're gonna be negotiable about. So you're not gonna say, okay, I'm gonna type in all these things and then all these people come up that allegedly have all these qualities and these are the only people in my dating pool. No, because sometimes the people who are the best for you aren't gonna have everything that you wanted. They're not gonna fit perfectly in that little snuggly category.
And that's the beautiful piece about getting to know people. Like, when you get to know other people, you get to learn more about yourself because you're learning more about all the little mysteries that they have. And I think that's exciting, whether it's a lover relationship or just, you know, us. It's exciting to learn more about that other person, just in general, without having this, you know, very finite box, which is what you're referring to. But being who I am, I have to be devious and point out that there are certain things that I do list out.
You just made, to me, like, the most important point of this entire show and this entire topic without even realizing it.
Okay.
Excitement. People run away when they're no longer excited.
That is very true.
When the thrill of whatever the relationship offered is gone, when it's not exciting anymore, that's when people start to say, I can't do this, because they want to constantly be stimulated. They want it to be exciting and new and fresh all the time, and they never settle in. They never just say, okay, this month maybe not exciting, but next month we'll work on being a little more exciting. Or this year's a little toned down, next year we'll ramp it up. People want that stimulation all the time.
Well, there's three things to think about in regards to that, and I think that would be a beautiful show to really have in full, because we could go on forever about that particular topic. But people become complacent. They start taking less time to, you know, be polite with each other. Again, 15 years of marriage, trust me, I'm and Amy, 21 coming up, right? Or 23?
Yes.
21.
But, you know, so when you're in long-term relationships like that, there are certain things that we neglect, and I call them housekeeping. You should always do them, but most relationships do fail because people become complacent and they start looking for that excitement, and that's very, again, I think that's
what he's afraid of with me, that I'm going to get bored with him because he's not as social as me.
Right.
But actually, right. In reality, he's perfect for me because he grounds me.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's absolutely, in my eyes, he balances me out, and I have no desire for anything, nobody else. You know what I mean? I don't know how to convey that to him, and so it makes him feel more secure. That's what I'm trying to find, is how can I make him feel more secure, that he won't have that fear any longer.
Well, and I also think the other component to that piece of excitement or lack thereof, or the thing that we constantly feel like we need to have daily, that's also an environmental factor, because like Naima said, even the songs that are coming out,
right.
There's no more romance, there's no more love, there's no more longevity conversation. It's more a booty bouncing and how many bounces can we booty. Or I said that backwards, but you know what I'm saying. You're following the bouncing ball. And that also puts a lot of stress on people like your husband, Amy, because here is this vibrant social butterfly. You know, you and I are a lot alike. We do a lot together, and we're always we're constantly out in the public.
Right.
So it definitely takes a special person to be with our personality and what we do for a living. But go ahead.
Sorry. I had a question for Amy.
Sure.
Do you try and push him or convince him to be more social?
I used to, but I don't anymore. Like,
all right.
I've learned that I need to not feel like he needs to be with me all the time in these things that I feel are special events, and just let him pick the ones that he's comfortable with. I've tried that approach, and it seems to be a little bit better, but then at the same time, I almost feel like I'm excluding him, and I don't want him to feel that way. So,
well, but you didn't say that he feels like you're excluding, or he has voiced that you're excluding him. The reason why I asked the first question is because I just wanted to make sure there wasn't a mixed message, that you
right.
want him to feel comfortable in knowing that he balances you, but on the other hand, you're encouraging him to be more outgoing. And two, what you just said brings up a point that OT said earlier regarding us thinking for the other person. And that you feel that he may feel left out, but he hasn't voiced that, or has he? I don't know.
Well, he hasn't. He doesn't. He's not a big talker, but his actions.
He's a man.
Is the way. Yes. And I, you know, I for what I do for a living is people spill their guts to me, mostly kind of like a psychologist, but I do holistic healing, so I feel like I'm a psychologist at times because things just come pouring out. But with him, he doesn't share feelings with me, but I pick up feelings. Like, I am a magnet to people's feelings. That's what I do for a living. So of course I feel things, but he doesn't want me to be bothered by them, or so he stuffs them. And I keep telling him, you know, we need to talk about it because I feel this. And he keeps telling me, oh no, there's nothing wrong. But then a month later, there'll be an explosion, and I'll know that, yep, it stemmed way back from, you know, this, and it has gotten better. But it's still, like, for instance, I'm getting ready to go on a business trip. I haven't done that, you know, for, you know, 4 or 5 days, and I haven't done this in a while because of the last experience where he felt completely like I had ulterior motives for this trip. And now he's starting to get antsy, and I'm about 2 weeks before I have to leave.
Can
so,
I give you a small piece of advice?
Sure.
Unsolicited for free. Never ask man how he's feeling. You'll never get the... You always ask a man what he's thinking. Because men don't like to talk. But they'll share
that. Makes sense.
Yeah, we'll share our thoughts with you. You know, when I say this to you, what are you thinking about right now? Or what did that make you think about? Instead of you're just replacing the word, and you'll eventually get to what he's feeling, but as soon as you say feelings, men are going to shut down. We don't talk about feelings.
Ah, that makes a lot of sense. Because I mean, I don't want to dwell on it. I want to move past it so he feels more comfortable, because I plan on doing this more often, and it's simply for business, not for anything else.
Right.
And I'm hoping at some point that, you know, the family can go with us. You know, we can go as a family on some of the trips, but certainly need to, you know, figure out what's triggering that response.
Yeah.
and move past it. And I think that might be a good way of doing it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love you guys, but I have to be the bearer of bad news. We are on the 4-minute countdown. It went by so fast,
wow,
as usual.
Wow.
As usual. So I want either one of you, Naima or OT, who I love both of you very much, and I hope you guys can come back, to give us the answer to today's daily riddle. Today's daily riddle is... What is the one thing that you would love 90,000 international listeners, 90,000 plus, because I stopped checking the reports a month ago, so God knows where we are. What is the one thing that they should take away from today's show? And you're down to 3 minutes, so.
Oh, my gosh.
No pressure.
I would say I want to stick with your point, Rusty. Don't focus on always having the excitement. You know, understand that at some point the excitement is going to start to veer off, and work to build up new excitement instead of focusing on what it used to be and trying to imitate that. Start creating a new excitement. Find something new that's exciting and fresh to build on and make that the new excitement. That's what I would want people to walk away with.
Naima?
Mine has to do with expectations, because I think that's what a lot of our fears are driven off of. What we think people expect of us. Don't fall into someone else's expectations of you. Be comfortable enough with yourself that you're not running from someone else's image of you.
Amy, I'm trying to give us a couple of extra minutes here.
Oh, okay. I wasn't prepared for that.
I'm a short and sweet person.
All right. Well, unfortunately, I can't give us extra time, so we're down to 2 minutes. Amy,
okay.
I love you, and no pressure. Naima and OT, you guys will be on air what time next week?
Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Yay! And that's not your typical radio talk. I highly recommend everybody go onto Blog Talk and put that on your calendar, because they are fun, and I love, love, love their show. And it's KNOT.
We'll have the show content posted before the end of the week.
All right, cool. I love you guys. Thank you so much for being on. High five, big hugs. And
nice
let's do this
from
again.
You guys. Take care.
All right, Amy, good
luck. Thanks, Amy. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
I just love OT and Naima. They're just wonderful to have on.
Yeah.
And
they do have a
great
show. I've listened to it a few times. And
great dynamics. All right, so next week we have Latia on. She is an incredible, incredible woman who, through my friendship circles, landed in my inbox. And I love how this magic works with this radio show, because there's more and more exciting stories coming our way. And we're down to 90 seconds. So Latia Sandiford will be on, and she's an author, motivational speaker, confidence coach, and entrepreneur. She has a new book coming out, and it's a very powerful book on healing and some other things that are definitely worthy of tuning in, healing from poverty and addiction and torture. So I'll leave it there, because that should be enticing enough for everybody to tune in next week. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
I'm Amy.
And I want everybody out there to know how much I love you, how I think you are beautiful, how you inspire me to inspire you. And I'm grateful. I'm very grateful for our time together going through this journey of learning, inspiration, motivation, and being together. Keep those emails coming in, and lots of love, lots of hugs. Peace out. Till next week.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.